Welcome back, everybody. Coming Yomi today, we're at Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph 27a, and we are on the very bottom of Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We are in the middle of a discussion about what you are allowed to sell certain things for and when you're allowed to go and replace these things. And we have this concept of Ma'alin Bekodesh Ve'in Moridin, that you need to go up in sanctity and you are not allowed to go down in sanctity. And we had a bunch of different examples in our Mishnah, selling a shul, selling a Torah, selling Sfarim, and stuff along those lines. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Rava Mi Beit Kenishta LeBeit Rabbanan. So which one has more Kedusha? A Beis Knesses, a shul, or a Beis Medrash, a place where people are learning Torah? So comes the Gemara and says in the name of Rava that to put something from a shul into a Beis Medrash, Shari, that's going to be allowed because that's not going down. That's only going up in Kedusha. Mi Beit Rabbanan LeBeit Knesta. However, but to turn something from being a Beis Medrash where people are studying Torah to go into being a shul, Asir, that's going to be a problem. Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Masne Ipcha, but Rav Papa teaches the opposite. He says that you can go from a Beis Medrash to a shul, but not the other way around, because shul is more important than a Beis Medrash. So it's Machlokas and Rav Papi and Rav Papa as to what Rava was really saying. Amar Rav Acha says, Kavaseid Rav Papi Mistabra, that the position of Rav Papi seems to make more sense, seems to be acceptable. Dam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Beis HaKnesses Mutra La'asoso Beis HaMedrash, that you can go and turn a shul into a Beis Medrash. So we see that a Beis Medrash is more Chashuv. Shema Mina, so we see that Rav Papi was right, that a Beis Medrash is more Chashuv. Good. Now comes the Gemara and says, Darash Bar Kapara Bar Kapara, learn from the pasuk. Ma'adik siva yisrof es beis Hashem, v'es beis hamelach, v'es kol batei Yerushalayim, v'es kol beis gadol saraf ba'esh. So what does the pasuk mean when it says that, and he burned the house of Hashem, and the king's house, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, and every great house he burned with fire? This is written in Malachim Beis, referring to the general of Nebuchadnezzar's army, who burned down Yerushalayim in the times of Bayecheni. So comes the Gemara and says, Beis Hashem, that's referring to Zeh Beis HaMikdash. That's referring to the fact they burnt down the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMelech, Elu Paltrin Shel Melech. This is referring to the king's palace. Beis Kobate Yerushalayim. And when it says all the house of Yerushalayim, Kimashma, and that's exactly like it sounds. Beis Kol Beis Gadol Saraf Ba'esh. And every great house they burnt with fire. So what's this referring to? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's Machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what this last part of the pasuk referring to. Chad Amar Makom Shemegadlim Bo Torah. One says that it's a place where they would learn Torah, meaning a Beis Medrash. On the other says that it's a place where they would daven as in a shul. So we see again a machlokes, which one's considered this base gadol, which one's more important, a shul or a base medrash. Man damar Torah. So the one who says Torah, diksev Hashem chafetz lamatzid ko yagdil Torah v'yadir. So the one who says that it's all about Torah, that's because of this pasuk that we're supposed to go and increase Torah and strengthen it, and that's what it's referring to. Man damar tefila, according to the one who said that gadol is really referring to Tzila, Diksev Saprana, Gdolos Asher Asa, Elisha, because the pasuk says Gadol when referring to Elisha. Elisha David Barach Mehu David, and Elisha was all about Tfila, so we see that that's all about Tfila, so either it's about Torah or it's about Tfila. And that's what this bias gadol is referring to. Comes Gemara to a conclusion. Tistaim de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hu damar makom shemegadlim bo Torah. So we can infer that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one that says that every great house is referring to a base medrash. Damar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi beis haknesses mutra la'asoso beis hamedrash shemamina. Because like we just saw before, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who says that you're allowed to turn a shul into a base medrash. Because again, a base medrash is more chashuv. Fine, very good. Then the Mishnah tells Havah Machru Torah Likhu Svarim, that if you sold a Torah, you're not allowed to then go and purchase Svarim with that, because again, a Torah is more Chashuv, and you're only allowed to go up in Kedusha, but not down in Kedusha. So the question we've been trying to figure out, or now we are going to discuss, is what if you go sideways in Kedusha? I mean, you're not going up or down, but it's the same thing. So we buy the Gemara, it's a question. Ma'ulim, of course, Sefer Torah Yashal Nikach Bo Chadash. Are you allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah with those proceeds? So this is again, going a sideways move, is that going to be allowed? So do we say, Kevan Delo, Ma'ale Le Asr? We say, since you're not going up in Kedusha, it's going to be a problem. Odoma came into Lekal Aluya, Iluya Acharina, Shapir Dami. Or maybe there's nowhere else to go. Torah is the highest thing. So if you're going to go sideways from Torah, then that would be totally fine. Now, there's a bigger discussion whether this can be used as a proof, like to go from Chumash to Chumash, because over here, the other side of the argument is that there's nowhere else to go because this is the highest possible place. Fine, not for us right now. But we see this question, are you allowed to exchange an old Torah for a new Torah? This is the question Gemara is going to have five proofs to try to give an answer to this question. So Tashma, come in here, proof. Aval machru Torah lo yikhu Sfarim. But we said in the Mishnah that if they sold a Torah, then you're not allowed to go and buy Sfarim with those proceeds. So what seems to come out is Sfarim hu delo. We can infer that this means that you can't go and buy Sfarim. However, ha Torah b'Torah shapir dami. But to go and buy a Torah for another Torah, that's going to be totally allowed. But as answers the Gemara, that's not going to be a proof, because masnisin diavad ki kam mi bayalam lechalchilo. Because our Mishnah is talking about a situation where you already sold the Torah. So we're talking bidyevad, where it already happened. What are you allowed to do? So you're right, there you would be allowed to go and buy a Torah. We're talking lechalchilo. Ideally, would you be allowed to go and sell an old Torah in order to go and get a new Torah? So that's what we're asking, so it's no proof. Comes along with the second attempt. Tashma, golden Sefer Torah, mitlos chumashim. That you're allowed to wrap a Torah scroll, you're allowed to wrap a Sefer Torah in the wrappings of a single book of the Torah. Remember, they used to go and have single books of the Torah as in its own cloth, as if it was like its own Torah, even though it was only part of the Chumash, part of the entire Torah. So you're allowed to use the scroll and the coverings that were on the Chumash. You're allowed to use those for the Sefer Torah as well. So you're allowed to then use the coverings from the Chumash on Nevi'im Uksuvim, because again, you're going up in Kedusha and not down in Kedusha. But the wrappings of a Nevi'im Uksuvim, of a Nach, you can't use on the Torah because the Torah is more Chashav. Or can you use single books of the Torah in order to go and wrap the Sefer Torah? Because again, you can only go up in Kedusha but not down in Kedusha. So Katanim, yes, we said previously, that you're allowed to wrap a Torah scroll in the wrappings of a book of the Torah, meaning in one book of the Chumash, which seems to imply mitbuchos chumashin in mitbuchos sefer Torah lo, that you're only allowed to do it if you're going up in Kedusha, meaning if it was on a Chumash and now you want to put it on a Torah, that's going to be okay. But to go from Torah to Torah, it seems to imply is not going to be okay. So comes the Gemara and says that's not going to be a proof because aim a sefer. Just if you want to go and make inferences and diukim, then you have to make the opposite diuk from the second part of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says v'lo chumashin mitbuchos sefer Torah, that you're not allowed to wrap a Chumash with something from a sefer Torah because that would be going lower in Kedusha, which seems to imply how Torah b'Torah shop you're done, that if you were to go from Torah to Torah, it would be okay. So don't bring me a proof from that part, from that place, because you can make the opposite inference the other way to kind of reject that proof. So don't try to bring me anything from this price. Tashma, third attempt to go and bring a proof. Manichan sefer Torah agabe Torah, that you're allowed to put one Torah on top of another if you need to stack things up. The Torah agabe chumash, you're allowed to put a Torah on top of a chumash. Chumash agabe nevim uksuvim, you're allowed to put a chumash on top of a nach. Havalo nevim uksuvim agabe chumash, but you can't put a nach on top of a chumash. Well, chumashim al gabe Torah, and you can't put a chumash on top of a Torah. This is the source for what we try to do in terms of stacking things up, stacking Sfarim. Big discussion, is this only by Torahs? Is this applied by Sfarim? Big discussion in terms of RC Durim, where we have laning in the back. How is that going to be okay? Again, not for us right now, but this is where a lot of that discussion is amongst the poskim. So Hanacha Kamart, Shiny Hanacha Delo Efshar. So Gemara says that's not going to be a proof. Meaning the proof that we were trying to attempt to say is that you're allowed to put a Torah on top of a Torah, and you're not allowed to put a Chumash on top of a Torah. So we see that Torah and Torah are equal. So if you want to trade one Torah for another, that's going to be totally fine. The Kamaz Gemara says that's not going to be a proof because we can't talk about placing one on top of the other because Shani Hanacha D'Lo, there's no other option. We need to put it on top of each other because there's no space. So we're just trying to figure out which can go on top of which. So a Torah with a Torah makes sense that they would be one on top of the other. Because if you're not going to say this, because if you're not going to say this, how are we ever allowed to roll up a Torah scroll? How are we ever allowed to roll up a Sefer Torah? One page is resting on the other. Rather, since there's no other way to do it, it's going to be totally fine. You're allowed to roll one page on top of the other. So to here, it's going to be totally fine. There's no other way, so you're going to be able to go ahead and do this. Next proof. Tashma, come in here, proof. Sefer Torah yashan likach bocha. That seems to be pretty explicit. This Bryce says that a person's not allowed to sell an old Torah in order to go and buy a new Torah. So this seems to explicitly tell us what we were trying to figure out. It says the Gemara, this is also not a proof, because Hasu Mishum Shiyusa. This case of Rav Shimon Gamliel is not a proof, because that was talking about negligence. We're talking about a case where, you know, you're going to sell the old Torah. We're not sure, yeah, maybe I'll get to buying a new Torah. So that's where we're saying you're not allowed to go do that. But Ki Kamran can go into Ksav Manach Lafruke Mai. But when we're talking about a situation where there's a legitimate question, meaning because you have the new Torah ready, so I just need to sell the old one just to buy the new one, and everything's all set in place, that's where we have the question. So what would the halacha be in that case? That's why this is also not going to be any proof. So Tashma, coming here, proof, the final proof over here. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, Ein Mochran Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Meir that one is not allowed to sell a Torah. El Lomo Torah Velisa Isha. Only if they're going to use it to learn Torah, to support yourself while you're learning, or to take a wife, so that way you can support yourself while you're making a family. Shema Mina, Torah B'Torah Shapir Dami. What seems to be clear from here is that just as the learning of Torah is comparable to the Kedusha of a Torah, and we see that you're allowed to trade one for the other. So yes, definitely to trade an old Torah for a new Torah, that's going to be totally fine. The Gemara says it's not going to be a proof, because Dilna Shaimi Limud, maybe learning Torah is different. Sha'al Limud maybe Lidei Maisa, because learning goes and teaches you how you're supposed to act. So that's going to be totally different. And that's why we say definitely do what you need to do to make sure to learn. And Isha Nami, the same thing applies with a wife, because Lo Sovera La'Shavas Yitzara, because our whole purpose of creation is to go and populate the world. So if you need to sell the Torah for the purpose of the Torah, for the purpose of the world, that's going to be okay. Aval Torah b'Torah lo, but maybe when it comes to exchanging one Torah for another, it would be totally different. So we can't bring a proof from here either. So we tried a lot of different attempts to go and bring a proof with no success. So Tana Rabbanan Rabbi starts in a brisa. Lo yim koralim sefer Torah. A person should not ever sell a Torah. Afal pishi no tzarech lo. Even if he doesn't need for it. Meaning even if you have other ones, you're still not supposed to sell them. Yasser al-kein amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Even more so, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, afilu in lo mayochal. Even if someone lacks what to eat. Umachar sefer Torah obito. And they sell their sefer Torah. Or they sell their daughter as a maidservant. Eino ro esim imbracha liolam. Yeah, you might have some cash in the immediate future, but it's not going to be a good thing for you. You're going to end up losing it some other way. Eino Roet Simin Brachayom, you will not see any good fortune from that money. Fine. Then the Mishnah went on to Bechay Mosreim, that also the same is true for any leftover proceeds. All of those proceeds need to be used for a thing of bigger kedusha, of higher kedusha, and not lower kedusha. So says the Gemara, Rav Rava taught Lo Shadavel Shumachru Behosiru. This whole cheetah, that the sanctity of the money stays, even with the proceeds, that's only when they sold the sacred object, they sold something of kedusha, they then went and bought something else with a higher level kedusha, but they still had money left over. Only in such a situation will the Mishnah's restrictions stay there. But if they collected the funds, meaning if they had some sort of fundraiser to go and buy a Torah, and then they raised more money than they needed, then the rest of that money is allowed to be used for anything. So there's a difference between selling something and having the money versus raising the money and having something. This is the sheet of Rava. Abai asks the question on Rava. What does this mean? What's this referring to? That the proceeds are only allowed to be used to go up in kedusha shelo hisnu. This is only if they did not stipulate at the time of the sale that they wanted to use the proceeds for something else, something non-kedusha. Aval hisnu, but if they did make some sort of stipulation, afilu duchsusya mutter, even for duchsusya, which we're going to see in the Gemara what it is, that's also going to be okay. So comes the Gemara and says, heichidami. So continuing this question of Abaya and Rava, so what's the case? If we're talking about a situation where they sold a sacred object, this item of Kedusha, and they had leftovers, kiyasnu mayhave. What's the difference if they made some sort of stipulation? This whole stipulation thing that the Brisa brings can't be talking about a situation where they sold it. Rather, we're talking about a situation where they collected funds, they had a fundraiser, and still, time into hisnu, halo hisnu lo. But we still see that even if there was no stipulation, you're not just going to go and be allowed to use it for anything else. You're not just going to be allowed to use it for whatever you'd want to be using it for. So what we see from here is our Brisa seems to clearly contradict Rava Shita, because we see that leftover funds that you raised are still going to be a problem and can't be used just for any purpose unless there was a prior stipulation. Says Gemara, no. Really, the Brisa is talking about a case where they sold the object and they had leftover money, and still the stipulation is going to matter. Because we were assuming that the stipulation has to be between the buyer and the seller, but that's not what it's referring to, says the Gemara. Where the seven town trustees, the people that are in charge of the shul, where they didn't make the stipulation in front of the townspeople that the money could be used for other types of non-kedusha purposes. But if they did make this type of stipulation, then even if it's going to be for duchsusya, then it's going to be okay. But now comes Gemara, and what is this duchsusya that you keep talking about? So Abai asks a certain scholar who would recite brisos in front of Rav Sheshes. Mishmi alach my Rav Sheshes my duchsusya. Did you ever hear from Rav Sheshes what this duchsusya is? Amrlei hakiyam Rav Sheshes parasha demasa. Rav Sheshes actually said that this is referring to the town courier, the person who's carrying all the messages, and he takes messages on horseback from the townspeople to the authorities. To hire this person, that's what it's referring to, this duchsusya. So we see that if you made the stipulation, then you can go ahead and use the extra money even for something like that. Comes the Gemara and now learns out a different lesson from this whole story. Amar Abaye, Hilka Chai Tzor Rumei Rabbanam. Therefore, a young scholar, Deshama Le Milsav Eliyada Perusha, where you hear a word but you don't know what it means, Le Shailei Kamei Deshkliach Kamei De Rabbanam. Go and ask someone who's usually by rabbis. When you hear rabbis talk and you hear them use their phrases, you'll learn a lot. To go after the Loshmiele min Gavra Rabba, because it's not possible that they didn't hear a definition of this word from a great person. Fine. Now comes Gemara and discusses a new topic about the communal obligation and the individual's obligation to go and take part in charity events. So comes Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Remeir, B'nei Ayur Shalcha Li Arachere. So Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Remeir, that if people of one town went to another town, Upaskalayim Tzedakah, and while they were there, the Gabbai Tzedakah over there, they tax them for Tzedakah. No, so you should give them money. If everyone's giving money in that place, you should give money in that place. Shame button. But when you're ready to go home and leave that town, Mivino Sayimain, so you should go and collect your money back from them. Say, look, I know I gave this money. Let me have that back. And I'm going to go use that money to go support the people of my place, because your first responsibility is to go and support the poor people of your own town. So we have a similar brisa that says that if people went from one town to another, and town officials tax them with tzedakah, no sin, so you should give. And when you go home, you should bring those monies back with you. You should get refunded, and then you should go and give them to who you need to give them to. V'yachid, however, says the brisa, but if an individual went to another town and they gave him tzedakah, then you should just give it to the people of that town. So we see that if you have a group of people, then you go back and stay as one unit, so then you would be able to go and get this money back to give it back to the people of your place. But if it's not one unit, meaning it's just an individual, so then you kind of blend in to the rest of the people and you should just give to those people. Rav Huna Gazar Tani says, so one time Rav Huna decreed a fast. And Rav Chana Bar Chanilai and all the people of the town came to Rav Huna to go and participate from the fast. And they went and they said, oh, you guys need to pay a certain tzedakah tax. You need to make sure to give tzedakah, because the whole point of a fast is to do tshuva and to give tzedakah v'yavu, and they gave tzedakah kibo v'meisei. And when they were about to go home, Amrulei, so they said to Rav Huna, Noson lamar v'naizel, so give us back our money, and then we'll go, Nefarnes bani yemasin, and we'll go give it to the poor people of our towns like we're supposed to do, just like that b'raisa told. So Amrulei, so Rav Huna said back to them, Tanina, no, we already learned, b'med v'ramamurim, when it was true that you're going to be refunded and you're giving it back to your people, b'she'en sham, that's when there's not a person who's a chaver ir. That's when there's no scholar there. There's no rabbi who has like a discretionary fund, a communal fund of al yisham chaver ir. But if there is a scholar there, kinasan lechaver ir, you should give it to that person. Because I, Rav Huna, I have this huge charity fund that I'm going to give to people from my town, from your town, from all these towns. So that's when you should just leave it with me and you shouldn't take it back with you. So that's why we're just going to leave the money here. This is Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.